This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:49 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Shaoning and Chuang. Now on Tuesday, the government announced that the ceiling price for chicken and eggs, as well as subsidies for bottled cooking oil, will be discontinued from 1st July onwards. However, the subsidy for cooking oil in 1 kilogram polybag packages will remain, and this is offered to consumers at a price of 2 ringgit and 50 cents per packet.
Now, Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs Minister Datuk Sri Alexander Natalingi said that the removal of price controls is to ensure a stable food supply in the market and stable prices in the longer term. In response to this, yesterday Prime Minister Datuk Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob also announced an additional 100 ringgit in the BKM direct cash aid for every B40 household recipient, while single individuals will receive 50 ringgit. This additional cash payments, assistance payments involves an additional allocation of 630 million ringgit and is estimated to benefit 8.6 million people and 4 million households.
So the question we're asking this morning is, how effective are these new measures in alleviating the burden on the Malaysian population right now? We speak to Dr. Juwita Muhammad, Director of Economics and Business and Acting Research Director at IDEAS. Juwita, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us today. So we saw this week the reaction. We saw this week the lifting of the ceiling price, and we heard the announcement from the Prime Minister yesterday on more subsidies for some essential items. I guess what's your reaction to the move? Do you think that they're taking good steps here?
Good morning, everyone. I think in general we have been talking about the rationalization of subsidies for a while now, and how the blanketed approach is putting a strain on the government's expenditure in the medium to long term. So we welcome the move for the rationalization of these subsidies, but would like to call upon an in-depth study on its impact on vulnerable households to ensure and identify that a suitable safety net can be put in place to cushion the blow, especially in the current economic situation.
The ceiling price for chicken started in February this year, while for palm oil it started in August last year. What is your assessment of this program in terms of it, whether it's distorted the market?
So recently, IDEAS have put out a press statement regarding the chicken ceiling price as well as the export ban. So with the government before imposing an 8 ringgit 90 cents per kg ceiling price on chicken to keep poultry prices low, as well as with the bans introduced, local suppliers actually before the ban relied mostly on exports to countries such as Singapore, Thailand, Japan, Hong Kong, and also Brunei to cover the cost and keep their operations afloat. So again, we saw that with the ceiling price as well as the export bans just introduced, we saw that this would have an impact, a negative impact on the producers in the immediate to medium term at least, because again, local sales are not really sufficient to cover the high production costs, as we can see now. And then this, again, will impact investments and also expansionary plans for the sector in the future if the government would just cut off access to lucrative markets as a short-term remedy to a food supply shortage. So with the removal of the ceiling price, then yes, demand and supply mechanism can work in the market, but again, there needs to also be certain measures to cushion the blow on vulnerable households, especially.
So let's talk about those measures to cushion the blow to those vulnerable households. How then should we ensure that those who require assistance have access to affordable essentials?
I think in the short term, cash transfers ensure that there is some sort of liquidity in the household to purchase essential goods if they choose to do so with the aid given. But in other countries like the US, we see that food coupons or food stamps are also given out for vulnerable households. And these are the targeted aid or non-cash transfers that we have talked about. And Malaysia should also explore such kind of aids other than cash aids in the near future, I feel.
Yeah, there's also been previous discussions many times about targeted subsidies with you. What is the best approach in terms of optimizing government resources?
So I feel that in the long run, subsidies rationalization need to take place. But on the condition that a formalized and permanent social safety net program is can be created to help the vulnerable households and the temporarily displaced workers, for example. So for now, Malaysia does not have such a coverage and longevity when we think about our own existing social protection programs. There needs to be monitoring and targeting. For now, there is the general feel for the targeting of B40, but who is the B40? Because looking at the statistics during the pandemic, we saw that the number of poor households actually increased to about 640,000 households in 2020 from about 405,000 households in 2019. We also saw that the incidences of absolute poverty has increased, and the incidences of hardcore poverty is also estimated to increase quite significantly. So again, who are these B40? And is the B40 narrative still relevant? Is it more than B40 now? So I guess there needs to be boots on the ground looking at different categorization and different needs for these households, because we do see that even the middle income group has been impacted by COVID-19. So again, we do need to target special assistance. It can be cash or non-cash transfers. But again, at the end of the day, we need to get to I'm sure the statistics is there, but monitoring and also targeting needs to also be in complement with the available data on the ground.
Jerita, I mean, this might be a question for the way distant future, but do you think that moving forward, we should be working towards removing all subsidies? Can that actually happen? What needs to be in place for all subsidies to be removed? Is that even feasible?
I think the government needs to balance in recalibrating its expenditure and in providing sufficient assistance to, again, I mentioned the vulnerable groups and the households, different households in the immediate to long term. So even though in the long term, subsidies can be costly, but again, the message is here, without a formalized social safety net, subsidies can still be a powerful tool in the short term as a poverty alleviation tool. So with the rationalization of subsidies on certain goods, subsidies on other essential products can be introduced if it's introduced in a targeted manner in the short term. Given that there's planning for a more comprehensive, targeted, and monitoring social protection program for the poor households is underway, I don't see the reason why, you know, in the immediate to the near term, the government cannot like mix and match. I don't see the reason for it. But in the long term, subsidy rationalization needs to take place, because then again, at the end of the day, it will have a strain on the government, and the subsidies are actually being funded by the people through taxes. So again, I do feel that there needs to be a balance here. But in the long term, when you think about economic theory, then of course, rationalization of subsidies should take place.
Juwita, thanks very much for speaking to us. That was Dr. Juwita Muhammad, Director of Economics and Business at the think tank Ideas, giving us her thoughts on how the subsidy system needs to be rationalized for Malaysia to, I suppose, survive in better fiscal condition moving forward.
Yeah, can I just say that in response to the possibility of whether subsidies can ever be completely dismantled in Malaysia or any other country, the answer is really, it depends. Because if you're a democracy and your political parties are reliant on a popularity contest for votes, then you cannot, because subsidies are very popular. Right?
Yeah.
They alleviate burdens and they give you support when you need it.
But it's also the government's role, right, to always sometimes, well, not always, but sometimes to feed that bitter medicine. That's what the economy needs. The question is, how do you then balance the welfare of the people and what's best for the Malaysian economy, not just for today, but also for the longer term? So I think the government, there will never be the right answer and it will never please everybody. But some form of rationalization has to happen and somebody has to be brave enough.
Well, that's the thing.
And have the political will to drive it through.
It's a bit like financial markets, right? You've got a 3-month window and short-termism is prevalent. In politics, it's a 5-year window in Malaysia's case, for certain eras, right? So that's your window. It's not long-termism, it's short-termism.
Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.